This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Happy Monday to you wherever you are. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're good. I hope you're smooth. I hope you are amazing. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey in New York City. Thank you to you for listening on the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, on SiriusXM channel 158, and a smart speaker if you got it. You talk to the machine, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've been hanging out for an hour already. This is sports heaven, right? Heading towards the World Series. By the way, the Mets are up against the Dodgers right now, 6-3, trying to tie their series up in the NLCS. The New York Yankees and the Guardians, they're going to get started at about 40 minutes in the Bronx, New York. In New Jersey, the New York Jets, the team that fired its head coach, they're going to take on the Buffalo Bills. Can't wait to talk about that mess. There's so much. College, we talked about college football. If you missed a minute, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. If you want to be a part of the show, you can do that too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Later on this hour, in about 40 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with Ben Hartsock. He covers all things college football for SiriusXM. Also played at the Ohio State University. And then next hour, we're going to have a chat with RJ Choppy of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. You know, we open up the show talking about how bad the Dallas Cowboys got smacked around yesterday by the Detroit Lions, 47-9. We got into a lot of the college football action that took place over the weekend. Texas winning, Ohio State taking the L against Oregon, Penn State getting a W. We got so much more to do. So we'll have that chat, college football, with Ben Hartsock in about 40 minutes from now. But in a few minutes, I do want to get into, you thought the Jets were bad? At least the Jets know their fate. At some point in time, they'll get screwed over by Aaron Rodgers, already in progress. And then they'll be back in the toilet. Now, having said that, it could be worse. You could be the Browns, who are now 1-5 and are paying a disaster quarterback to just get smacked around like a pinata. We're going to get into Deshaun Watson momentarily. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The New York Mets leading the Dodgers 6-3. Bottom of the eighth, New York Mets trying to tie their series at one game apiece after losing 9-0 in game number one. Bill is calling up from Wisconsin. Bill, how are you? What's going on? You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hi, JR. It's always nice to talk to you. Hey, I called you a few times over the years, and I just wanted to ask you, the first question I have is about betting. If you have you're watching a show, and it says one team is 250, and another team is like 275, and minus or whatever it is, plus, what does that mean?
Oh, listen, man, I ain't the gambling person out here. Plus 250, that means you need to bet, I think, $100 to win the 250, Bill.
Oh, okay. okay, I see. Okay, and then my other thing is, you said, who do you think will make a difference in the Yankees game? And I think it's going to be Soto. And I am somewhat of an Aaron Rodgers fan, although he's getting kicked around. I never thought they'd fire the coach, and I really like number 18 for the Jets. I think he's going to be a great receiver for him.
Garrett Wilson?
No. His first name is Mike. They got him from
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams. I think he's
always hurt. Mike Williams.
Yeah, but I think he's gonna turn out by the end of the year for him. Yeah, I like it when he catches the ball. When he does, you know what I mean.
Well, listen, if Mike Williams is catching the ball, that's a rarity. That's why they need to get Mr. Devontae into the building.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, nice to talk to you all the time, then. All right. Have a good day.
You as well, Bill. Thank you for calling from Wisconsin. Thank you so much. Wow, I didn't expect to hear that. Hickey, did he give props to Mike Williams?
Do you think even Mike Williams' parents give props to him?
Does he play football enough? I mean, I don't think so, right? No.
He has been on the field enough times to not be on the same page with Aaron Rodgers and get a few glares. So,
oh my God. Let's see. What is Mike Williams' stat? Oh my God. How did he bring up? Mike Williams has 145 yards receiving this year to go along with Hickey. Guess how many touchdowns?
Zero.
Yep. There you go. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Had two receptions for 25 yards in London last week. How the hell does he remember Mike Williams? Okay. Anyway. And now we start to hear word that the Raiders may not move Devontae. What is wrong with them? Well, I know what's wrong with them. They brought in a fired ass coach and Tom Telesco. That makes no sense, man.
This actually makes sense for them. Holding on to Devontae and then trading him after the year.
Yeah.
While it's embarrassing and maybe it looks like a complete CF on, you know, hopefully you know the acronym. Uh-huh. You hear that the market right now stinks. It seems like right now it's the Jets and nobody else. And so the Jets could pay whatever price they want for him because there's no one else bidding for his services. So if you're the Raiders, why would you basically give him away to the Jets for, I don't know, what, a third-round pick, fourth-round pick? When if you wait till the season's over, sure, he's a little bit year, you know, he's a year older, but more teams then have the salary cap flexibility to bring him in, rework his deal, and get him, you know, get back in the mix to try to make a deal done, which only raises the price for what you're going to pay to get him.
I think at this point, at the end of the year, the Raiders can just cut him, you know? But don't you want something back?
Right.
Like you would think in the middle of the season you could get the most out of it. I don't know, man. You think he's going to stick around or are they just posturing?
Well, did you see the report of who his favorite quarterback is?
Oh, my God. Who is it now?
Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, my God.
So there is belief that maybe the move to AOC now could be enough of an olive branch, you want to call it, to at least keep him happy for the rest of this season.
Uh-huh.
That's an interesting one there.
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh. That's an interesting one.
Raiders are going to Raider. They're going to just be gonna be nuts. And the New York Jets tonight against the Bills. I want to call it a pick'em game. I really do. Because when you have these coaching changes, for whatever reason, you know, the team always gets a little reinvigorated. Everybody locks in a little bit more. I'm going to give the Jets the edge at home. And Hickey, this is why it's always interesting, you know, when people ask me, hey, who are you a fan of? And this and that. And Hickey, I like the Jets. I love them. Tell me if I'm wrong for wanting them to lose tonight, just for more controversy.
Why?
Is that normal? Am I a real fan? Am I a fake? No, I'm a bad one, right?
Yeah, that's not normal. Okay. I mean, look, get rooting against your team when you want to tank, right? Uh-huh. I get that. Rooting against your team and what is supposed to be the best chance you to win a Super Bowl in 60 years seems crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Buffalo is coming off of two losses. They want to turn. Could you see Buffalo losing three? I can see Buffalo losing three straight games. I could see the New York Jets. But, Hickey, they'll win. I think, oh, my, this is so tough. This is an interesting one. It's a pick 'em game. The Jets will win at home. But I would like for them to lose. Just for the stories that will come out of it, Hickey. It'll be amazing. Could you imagine if they lose tonight?
As a non-Jets fan, I hope they lose. I think tomorrow's show will be a lot of fun. And there's going to be a lot of good storylines to talk about.
As a Jets fan, I hope they lose too. I don't know. I'm conflicted. I don't know. I don't think the Jets will win the Super Bowl. I hope they win the Super Bowl. But the fact really is, this is, I don't want to call it a sinking ship. I don't know. Maybe they turn things around. We also heard about Hassan Reddick and the fact that he might now return. Drew Rosenhaus as an agent now. As CAA told him to take out. There's so much going on. Hickey, I will pick the Jets tonight. I'll pick the Jets. I think they'll win. Unfortunately for Buffalo, they lose three straight games. The New York Jets come out swimming. And this is a good look. So I will pick the Jets to win. I am rooting for more dysfunction, and I am rooting for more anger and angst. That's what I'm rooting for, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Remember earlier this week, or I guess now last week, when Sauce Gardner said that he's still playing for Robert Saleh?
Oh, boy.
What if they win today? That was for Robert.
Oh, my God. Nah, he's not going to say that.
No? That would be tremendous.
You can't say that.
We won that for our guy.
Yeah, you can't say that, man.
Well, if there was a team to say that.
The Jets?
They're on the short list, are they not?
Yeah, we'll be.
Raiders, I could see saying something like that, too.
Jaguars got their own problems.
They hate their coach, apparently.
Yeah, Jaguars are quitting on Doug Peterson. They're quitting on each other. You know, we'll get into some of these awful teams. Let's get this awful team out the way. The Browns lost again yesterday. They lost to the Eagles 20-16, a pathetic showing. The Cleveland Browns and their $55 million, $230 million guaranteed quarterback, Deshaun Watson, is a pinata. This man was sacked 5 times yesterday. I know his body hurts. He's getting sacked 5, 6, 7, 8 times every game. He only passed for 168 yards. He told us a few weeks ago that they're paying him to throw the football and not run it all over the place, so he ain't trying to run. And the biggest question right now for a former coach of the year and Kevin Stefanski, multiple-time coach of the year and Kevin Stefanski, the question is simple. When are you going to bench Deshaun Watson? When are you going to insert everybody's favorite backup, Jameis Winston, as the starter? And apparently the answer is not right now. Kevin Stefanski spoke to the media, and he told everybody why Jameis isn't going to get the go.
Yeah, I think it's just important that we continue to do everything we can to play good, sound football. I think there were moments of that, obviously, yesterday. I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win, continues to give us the best chance to win, and we need to play really good offensive football at his position and really at every position to be successful on Sunday.
Okay, all right. He just said a whole lot of nothing. Now, we know why this man is still there. It's because of how much money they have to pay him. More guaranteed money than a quarterback has ever gotten, ever. They traded away their whole future, every draft pick to bring this guy in. They're screwed. They're cooked. I told you just last week that the Browns, this misery loves company. Like, there's certain things that you need to leave alone and not touch, and you're so desperate you went for them. Man, I know that the Falcons wanted him here, but damn it, I'm glad he's not. Falcons fans will be losing their mind. They got a decent quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Beating up on the Panthers and swag surfing after games now. The Browns got what they deserved. Crap. Kevin Stefanski, he told everybody, he told the media today, he says, I still believe in Deshaun Watson.
I think we need to play better on offense, Tom. I really think this is a when you're playing good on any side of the ball, it really is about 11 guys doing their job and coaches doing our job, putting those 11 guys in position. So that's really where our focus is. That's really where our team's focus is.
Oh, my God. They got the Bengals play them next. The Bengals are going to play the Browns. The Bengals are going to beat the Browns. Battle of Ohio, whoop-de-doo. The Browns are going to go 1-6. People are still going to scream for Jameis Winston. And it's a very simple question. Kevin, are the Haslams, the owners of the Cleveland Browns, are they forcing you to play the guy who had almost 30 accusations of sexual assault that they gave $230 million to? Are you being forced to? Is the boss telling you put him out there?
Mary Kay, I don't get caught up in narratives, but we have a good dialogue with myself, Andrew, ownership, about all things that have to do with this team. They've been nothing but supportive, and any decision when it comes to football is my decision.
Oh, uh-huh. Wow. He's not stupid. You're going to bench him in here, but he's not dumb. Hickey, maybe this is karma. Well, I guess not. He's getting $230 million anyway, so. But how much of that money, that has to eat away at him at night, maybe, right? I don't want to put you in his shoes, but is Deshaun Watson okay? Is he all right?
I don't know. But you look at his body language, you look at his demeanor, he seems like somebody that doesn't care.
And maybe that's out.
Right, exactly right. And maybe that's just everything that's gone on. Maybe he got paid and doesn't care. We've seen plenty of players do that. But, I mean, there is no right now indication whatsoever of him truly, this eating at him and him caring about turning this performance around.
It's confusing. He's been, I don't want to say he's been combative, but he's been like, yeah, I am what I am, and I'll be what they pay me to throw the ball. Yeah, they pay you a lot. And we know the team around you stinks. The offensive line is crap. I want to say this is karma, but I can't even say that. It's just, I don't know. Maybe all the hits he's taking is karma. But the money, I guess he goes home and he sleeps okay. This is a disaster. Misery loves company. The Browns, they deserve it. I can't say that any clearer. And then also, by the way, for a guy who is one step away from being fired himself, I'm talking about Nick Sirianni. Eagles beat the Browns 20-16. You would think Nick Sirianni, he'd be happy, right? You think he'd be cool. Nick Sirianni was chirping with his own fans in Philadelphia yesterday. Yeah, getting at some hecklers, it's like that's the last thing that you want to do in Philadelphia. You don't want to do that. So we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about Nick Sirianni and why are you picking a fight with your fans? This is a bad, bad idea. We'll get into that on the other side. We'll talk some college football as well. Ben Hartsock is going to join us from Sirius, covers all things college football. He'll be here with us in a little more than 20 minutes. So we got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. But I want to do this for you as well. Let you know that football season is heating up and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is really simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks even invented the flex play, so you can still cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. Like, I don't know, saying I want Jameis Winston. Well, he won't play instead of Deshaun Watson. Anyway, download the Prize Picks app today and use code JR. And get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code JR on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it is lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The New York Mets getting some insurance runs up on the board. Marte singles in Pete Alonso. It's now a 7-3 game. A man on first, man on third. One out. New York Mets kind of creating some distance. We'll keep you up to date as this game continues on. Right before we went to break, we talked about the disaster that is the Cleveland Browns. What else is new, right? Then I told you that with the Eagles beating the Browns, you would think everybody in Philadelphia would be happy. No. Nick Sirianni took some time to actually kind of, you know, egg on some Philly fans who were giving him a rough time. And of course, it was caught on camera because everything is on camera. So Nick Sirianni, who is not someone who is, let's just say, he's not a great orator. He's not a great public speaker. He's not a great communicator. He had some explaining to do about why he decided to go at it in the stadium with some Philly fans. Take a listen, Nick Sirianni. This is yesterday after the win about his interaction with those fans. Listen.
No, just excited. Just excited to get the win. Just excited to get the win. Yeah. It's hard to win in this league, so we're excited to get the win. Our fans created a couple false starts that really helped us win this football game. But just excited to get the win and appreciate the link support.
Oh, the sarcasm. Okay. All right, so he had some time to sleep on it. He had a media professional and the Phillies, they lost, sorry. And the Eagles organization give him some advice. And so what did Nick Sirianni tell everybody today? Listen to this.
Now, I was trying to bring energy yesterday, enthusiasm yesterday. And I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And, you know, my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, that's and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy. And that wasn't the time.
Oh, my goodness. What are we doing? Hickey, he wants to get fired, right? Now, I'm not saying that this is something that's going to lead to it, but people are going to remember this. And when you have to spend time explaining away your own mistakes that have nothing to do with your job, like, why are you creating distractions for yourself? I get it. Bill Belichick was the king of not saying anything. But could you imagine Bill Belichick talking to, does he know there are fans in the stadium? Does he know that they exist? And we got Nick Sirianni yelling at people.
That right there, forget, you know, the fact that he's a bad coach and the team's underperformed. That right there, you are making a mockery of the organization by peacocking around, taunting the fans, mocking the fans for in a moment, by the way, where the fans are right in terms of, yeah, you won the game, but you are not playing anywhere near to the level that you're expected to play. And it's like now, like you said, head coaches are supposed to erase problems, not create drama. And all this guy is doing now is making it harder for the team to focus because he himself is creating distractions that now the rest of the team and organization have to answer to.
That's bad. And yesterday, this is the story with the Eagles. It wasn't about the return of Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. It wasn't the fact that, you know, Hurts was able to share the ball around with everybody. The head coach, and I'm sure, if you listen to WIP in Philadelphia today, it was more so about Nick Sirianni and why are you getting into it. And getting into it with Philly fans, out of all people, just leave it alone. Like, why start, Hickey, what's that game? Hangman, right? Isn't that what it is? You got an H and you Hangman, right?
You know it, yes, sir.
This man is playing a game of Hangman, and he's writing the letters in himself, bro. Just coach the team, get along with your quarterback, and try to keep your job. Fighting with your own fans about noise, and it just cut it out. Don't do it. This stupid team. Anyway, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Also, this didn't take place in Philadelphia. Hickey, the fans in London for NFL football, much more sophisticated, right? They don't do this.
Much more proper. Yes.
Yeah. No. For their own football, not so much. For American football, did you see how many Mike Ditkas they had dressed up out there? Like, these guys, these fans are really into it.
They are, and the creativity was nice. I give them a lot of credit.
There's like 50 million Mike Ditkas that showed up in London. The Bears beat the Jags 35-16. We talked about one pathetic team and the Browns being now 1-5. The Jaguars have joined them. We'll talk more about them later. Everybody on the damn team is quitting on each other. The Bears now have a record of 4-2. Like, this was prophesied by many people who looked at Caleb Williams and said they're going to win. This man threw 4 touchdowns yesterday. Trevor Lawrence is just, I don't know, stealing money. 2 touchdowns and interception. I tweeted this out yesterday. I said, listen, man, they just need to leave this team in London permanently. Don't bring them back. Maybe Shad Khan could get things figured out over there, because they're a disaster. And so the Chicago Bears, they improved their record. At least the Jaguars, they didn't have to worry about anybody. And Caleb Williams now throwing 4 touchdowns in a game. He's like, listen, people, I'm a rookie, but I understand the game.
I've been seeing it well, and that starts, you know, throughout the whole week, watching film, getting there in practice, talking to the coaches, players, and things like that. So I think seeing it well, I think the comfort level of just, you know, like I've talked about before, getting back to playing football and, you know, where I need to be, eyes need to be.
Yeah, the Chicago Bears, they're looking good. Got themselves a quarterback. Fan base hasn't seen somebody who can throw the football in forever. Next up for them, hey, rookie on rookie. Washington Commanders are next for the Chicago Bears after their bye. And we saw Washington take an L to the Ravens yesterday. And so, you know, things will continue on. Washington has now fallen to 4-2. And a transition period for everybody. 855-212-4227. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. What we're going to do, let's take a break. When we come back, you know, we just got into some of the rookie QBs and what they've done and Caleb Williams. Let's talk some college football. Ben Hartsock is going to join us, analyst on SiriusXM, covers all things college football, also played for the Ohio State. We'll ask him about that loss that Ohio State just took. Ask him about Alabama barely getting by the Gamecocks after already taking an L last week, too. We'll get into Georgia. There's a lot to discuss. Ben Hartsock is going to join us on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, I'm taking wives, I guess. Sometimes. Anyway, just get away from that. So much going on in the world of sports, trying to get a little bit closer to the World Series. We got the WNBA Finals that are going on right now. Basketball and the NBA is getting ready to start. The NFL is underway. And, of course, we're marching through the college football season as well. Texas is sitting at the top. Alabama looking kind of shaky. Ohio State taking an L. There's a lot that we need to think about and go through. To talk about what we've seen this weekend, what's taken place so far this season, what we can look forward to, joining us right now is someone who won a championship with the Ohio State University. You can catch him on SiriusXM covering all things college football. You might have seen him in the NFL as well as a tight end. Joining us right now is Ben Hartsock. Ben, how are you?
Doing well, doing well.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. I will get into your alma mater in Ohio State, but I understand you were down in Dallas. You were in Arlington and at the Cotton Bowl, a matter of fact, for the Red River Rivalry. Did you expect that type of a beating?
Yeah, I didn't. It was a 14.5 point spread in favor of Texas, and boy, I just did not expect a Brent Venables led defense to get beaten the way that they did. But it just shows. I think that there's a gap and a discrepancy between the true front runners and even good teams in college football, and Oklahoma's just not there yet. It went away from Jackson Arnold, their starting quarterback, a couple of games ago, which was so surprising. It's just an amazing to be in an era of football, and it's happening in the NFL too, where the runway for a young guy to figure things out is short and getting shorter. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young got benched. Jackson Arnold gets benched. Alex Orji had a game at Michigan, got benched. So you move to Michael Hawkins Jr., and he's going to go through his growing pains. And Oklahoma made it too easy for Texas. They right before the half, turned the ball over in consecutive drives with 2 minutes left and just handed easy points to Texas. You have to play super clean to keep up with the talent that the Longhorns have, and they didn't do that at all.
Well, we know the Texas Longhorns. We know who their quarterback is. If he's healthy, that's Quinn Ewers. What are your thoughts on what Texas has done so far this season? Do you see them maintaining this kind of number one spot, rolling through everybody?
Yeah, well, they haven't. Every team in college football, it's how battle tested are you? And this was a big moment for Texas to play in a rivalry game with Quinn Ewers coming back off an injury. And he was a little rusty, threw for about 200 yards, but they look like a team that they're not just all talent. They're able to win in different ways. They've dealt with some adversity with Ewers being out. They've lost starting running backs. And so to me, they are certainly justified as the number one team, and they don't have much time to rest because they had the rivalry game last week, and now Georgia's coming to town in Austin this weekend.
And Ben Hartsock is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show, Coast to Coast. You talk about those Bulldogs, and they gave up 31 points to Mississippi State. They won 41-31. Do you think Georgia, are they at the top of the heap? It seems like they've fallen off. They lost to Alabama. Alabama's kind of proven a little bit up and down themselves. What are your thoughts on the Bulldogs?
Yeah, there's a lot of curiosity about these teams that look so dominant just a couple of weeks ago, Alabama and Georgia, and obviously Ohio State going down the way that they did. I think for Georgia, what we're learning is last year they had tremendous players, great players. This year they've got good players. And is good enough right now? They do have competitive depth. They're going to be able to go to their backups. They can rotate through their D-line and still play at a high level. But are they ultra elite the way that they were a year ago with Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers? I don't think that's quite the case. We're not real sure yet how they'll stack up against that talented Texas team because they've got Isaiah Bond that's doing really well, Emmett Golden at the wide receiver position, and Quinn Ewers obviously getting more comfortable after getting back out there with the game under his belt now. So I think there's going to be incredible competitiveness in these games, just like we saw against Oregon, Ohio State, that they're two extremely talented teams. They can hang with each other. They're in the same weight class. It's just who does the critical execution at critical times.
Ben Hartsock is here with us, covers all things college football on SiriusXM, won a championship at The Ohio State University. You talked about what them Buckeyes just did. They went up to Oregon and they lost, which will probably, maybe outside of Penn State, be their toughest game of the entire season. What are your thoughts on the Buckeyes and what this L does for them moving forward?
Well, it's disappointing for Buckeye fans, but I'm reminded of an experience I had as a young player in the NFL. I was drafted to the Indianapolis Colts, and that was when Manning was MVP, Peyton Manning, and things were going well. We were a playoff team. We knew it the day the season started, and it took us, I don't know, 12, 13 weeks into the season before we lost, and I remember coming in there from a college perspective. I was used to one loss was the end of your season. And I'll never forget walking into that locker room the next day and all of my teammates for the Colts were bebopping and upbeat and positive. And I just was kind of like, what's happening? And they had to teach me, hey, buddy, rookie, this is the NFL. Nobody goes undefeated. The 72 Dolphins are still popping bottles of champagne. Relax. We're still, everything we want is out in front of us. And so that's what's happening to college now with the 12-team playoff. As much of a disappointment as it is for Buckeye fans to see them go down to Oregon, everything is still out in front of them. They've just used their mulligan now. Penn State's still looming. Michigan is still looming. But the reality is, more than likely, Ohio State will see Oregon again in the Big Ten Championship and potentially a three-peat in the college football playoff.
Well, Ben, when you look at we have such a wider range here now that we have 12 teams in the playoffs. Who do you find to be legitimate contenders? We know we start getting into 11 and 12. It's just like, okay, well, whatever. But who are your legitimate contenders that you really look at?
Well, and that's a great question because I think it's still hard to know right now because 2 weeks ago I would have said Georgia. They got beat by Bama and looked pedestrian versus Mississippi State. Last week I would have thought Bama, but they got beat by Vandy. So these teams are taking chance turns, tripping and stumbling. And so that's, I think what it represents is that the talent gap is tighter in the top 10 than it's ever been. Instead of Ohio State or Michigan or wow, Georgia keeping all of its players, some of those players now are going to Penn State. They're going to Tennessee. They're going to Oregon. And so I think it's going to be more like the NFL where these games are, the margins are much, much tighter. And so we've seen it already that these teams that are new to the expanded playoff, Ole Miss has lost twice. Looks like they're probably going to be on the outside looking in. Georgia's taken a mulligan. Alabama has taken a mulligan. Ohio State now has a loss. All of these teams, I think they're all legitimate contenders, but we're not going to know till we get into the playoff and how that one game series is going to play out.
Ben Hartsock is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. A team that we're used to watching dominate everybody. Alabama, we know they have a new coach and have had players transfer out. Milroe, this was his show to run the entire season. You talk about that loss to Vandy. We saw how close things were with the Gamecocks. What do you think about this transitional period? Is Alabama going to be kind of down with the pack for years to come, or is this just an introductory year for DeBoer?
Yeah, I think that it could be a fork in the road moment. I know that a lot of people are ready to say that, oh, he lets them play music in practice during practice. That's not what Saban did. He's moved practice from the evening to after school to before school. That's not what Saban did. I think that's unfair this early. The reality is, with what Kalen DeBoer had to walk into, he lost a lot of guys that decided they were Saban guys. They're not DeBoer guys, and so they left. Guys like Caleb Downs and others, Seth McLaughlin, to Ohio State. And for him to keep the guys that were on that Saban roster together and to have them playing what I view is lights out. I mean, these are still college kids. They still make college kids mistakes from time to time. I think that he's certainly it's certainly far too early to say that they're going to go into a dark period. They're going to make the playoff and potentially compete for the whole thing. Honestly, if they had only won 8 or 9 games this year, I would have said that's okay for a coach in his first season.
Well, we'll see how they decide to torment the Georgia Bulldogs as we get a little further into the year. We'll see how that works. So they figure out a way to do that. Ben Hartsock is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Penn State, what are your thoughts on the Nittany Lions? Like, they're there, they're at the top of the rankings, the leaderboard, but they don't get as much attention.
Well, and they're a team to me that has a couple of opponents that I think are credible character-building wins. A win at West Virginia is noteworthy to me. A win at USC, as I understand USC's had 2 losses, now 3 losses, in the past 3-4 weeks for USC. They're an unranked team. But the reality is those are quality wins. And I look at the second step of Drew Aller, the quarterback at Penn State in his second year. He is playing with a level of confidence that I think is really encouraging for Penn State fans. So you take his next step, you take Tyler Warren, their tight end, who just tied a tight end record in the FBS for most receptions in a game at 17. That Tyler Warren also plays wildcat quarterback. He also, he's got multiple receiving touchdowns. He's got a throwing touchdown, and he's run for a touchdown this year. That's really a nice utility Swiss Army knife to have for James Franklin and Andy Koltnicki, that offensive coordinator. And then the two-headed monster of Catron Allen and Nick Singleton as a thunder and lightning for the run game, and Penn State as an absolute contender.
Oh, we're going to see what that looks like against Ohio State in a couple of weeks, actually at the beginning of the month. So we'll see there. Final question for you, Ben. We don't get as much attention showed towards Colorado. I think we might have had a little bit more if they went out there and beat Kansas State. What are your thoughts on what this team is going to look like? And if what happens next year? Does anybody know? What do you think might happen?
I think that Colorado is polarizing. Deion Sanders is, for whatever reason, he is a magnet for that. I think Shedeur Sanders is a tremendous talent, and I think that he takes more criticism than he deserves. But at the end of the day, Colorado is a program that is it is making foundational steps each and every day, and for them to get bowl eligible is a reasonable hope for them. I still am a little hesitant to say they're going to get there, but if they can get to bowl eligibility, I think they should hold their heads high and say they're heading in the right direction.
Ben, final question. Are you in favor of an additional expansion of the college football playoff, or are you content with where it is right now?
I was a four-team apologist, so I wouldn't say I would want to expand it already, but what I will admit is even in this early experience, knowing that there's 12 teams coming, I was concerned that we were going to have a minimization, like I said about that Ohio State-Oregon game. Really, that stake, that game meant really nothing, but it still didn't take away from how incredible that game was. And so I'm willing to eat my words there and say that because as a benefit, what we get is that, hey, Tennessee is still alive. LSU still is in the hunt. Penn State, Ohio State, all these teams that have already got a loss on the season are still alive. Teams like Missouri and others that are new to the college football discussion this late in October is a mutual benefit. I think that unfortunately with the any playoff, enough is never enough. Like they've already gone from 64 to 68 in the NCAA basketball tournament, and it's like when does it ever stop? So I wish that we would at least get a stretch here with 12. But I also know there's money to be made, and so in the not-too-distant future, the money will win, and they'll go to 14 pretty quickly.
Yeah, any game that you can add, well, let's make up a wild card. So that's how it is. Ben, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you, listen to you, keep up with all your work, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm over on Channel 84, College Sports Radio, throughout the week, Big Ten Channel 372, and you can hit me on any of my social media, Twitter, X, at Ben Hartsock.
Hey, Ben, thank you for the time. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the rest of the games. Thank you.
All right, good talking. See you.
All the time. That Ben Hartsock, former Ohio State Buckeye, won a national championship, former 10-year vet in the NFL. And now you can catch him on SiriusXM, all things college football. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. So much going on. The New York Mets, they have tied their series up against the Dodgers 1-1. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. The New York Yankees already trying to do some damage early here against the Guardians. We have a lot to get into. We have some NFL updates, unfortunately, injury updates. We have a lot to do. It's a full Monday. You want to call me, knock yourself out. You could do that too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Oh, yeah, that's right. The New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. They're going to be getting going in a few minutes as well. What a busy day. We have RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan joining us to talk about the Cowboys. There's so much going on. We got you covered. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.